I hope when I give you my title of sermon, you won't say, oh no, another sermon on prayer, or say, ho-hum. There's a danger of both those. You say, oh no, another sermon on prayer, we know all about prayer. Or I'm not going to pay much attention, we all know how to pray anyway. What happened, as you know, I've told you before, about a month or two ago, I was just kind of meditating on Grace Chapel. I know we are supposed to be a praying church. We do a lot of praying. We have praying and fasting days every first Wednesday. We do bathe the church in prayer every week, and we do some other things. And so I don't know how much you're participating in that or how much you're praying. So I was going to preach a sermon on, do you really take prayer seriously? But I got to meditating on it. I didn't want to use that title. And so you know what I did? It kind of expanded, and I preached one sermon here on encouragement to pray. And I preached one on exhortation to pray. And so this morning, I want to preach on instruction in prayer. And I hope that you'll either get my sermon notes or you'll make some notes of your own. Because if all I do is get out information and there's no action, that means that I have failed. And I don't want that to happen. We can learn how to pray better. You all pray if you're born again. I'm going to show you that in a minute. If you're born again, you pray. But your prayer life is not what it ought to be, probably. I doubt hardly anybody's prayer life is what it ought to be. I do try to practice what I preach. My prayer life has improved, but it's not anywhere where it ought to be. But I know over the years, I've been sincerely trying to practice what I preach in prayer. But I'm not satisfied. I hope I never get totally satisfied. But let me give you some scriptures to show you how we need to have a spirit of humility. You say, brother, everybody knows how to pray, child of God. And do you really know what prayer is? Because you know what most people think prayer is? And that's how most of your prayer are. You're asking God for stuff. Maybe on behalf of other, Lord, bless them to get well. Bless this problem to be solved. Bless that. And that's legitimate. But that's not all prayer is about. Prayer is a lot more than that. And so I'm hoping I can give you some pointers today that even this week you'll try to make some changes in your prayer life. But let me read you a scripture, then read a song. I'm glad Nathan called on it this morning. I'm trying to find it, and he happened to call on it during our prayer service that we had. And by the way, if anybody can get here at 10 o'clock, do that, because we do have a prayer session from 10 to 10:30. And I know a lot of you live a long way away, and a lot of you can't get here, so I'm not fussing at you. But if you can get here, you ought to do that. Over in Luke 11:1, it's amazing. These are men who had prayed all their lives. These were Jews who made a matter of prayer. So you'd think they knew how to pray, and they didn't have to learn how to pray. But they had some great humility. So they said here in Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus Christ was praying, in a certain place, that must have been something to hear him pray, you know it. Wouldn't you kind of like to have been there? Been a fly on the wall? Hear him talking to his father. I re-memorized yesterday. I got a little bit down. I shouldn't have got down. When I was down bad enough to get down bad, but I was. I said, Lord, I'm going to get out here in a yard. I'm going to re-memorize John 17. So I spent an hour and a half. Man, you're talking about putting iron in my blood. It's the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his Father. It must have been something to hear Jesus Christ talking to the Father. So anyway, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Here men have been praying all their lives. They've got to teach us to pray. And in 421, the Psalm Nathan called on, I'm glad he did it, because I always like to have confirmation that what I'm going to preach on is what God wants me to preach on. Sometimes I get confirmation this way. In 421, it's a great song of prayer, and the last verse says this, O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer, thyself has trod. Lord, teach us how to pray. I love that verse. Basically, of course, here on Luke 11:13. I know you do some praying, because if you're born again, you just can't help praying. Let's look at a couple of verses that say that. Over in Acts 9:11, just to show you, I know you pray. Sometimes you don't even know you're praying, but I'm talking about developing a prayer life, the kind of God wants you to have. We all can do better. But over in Acts 9:11, this is when the Apostle Paul got born again. You know, on the road to Damascus, he had been an enemy of the people of God. And he was doing many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He had put his saints in prison, and he was just compelling them to blaspheme, which probably meant he was torturing them. And just suddenly he was changed by the irresistible grace of God. And so then God wanted Ananias to go talk to Saul. But Ananias didn't want to go down there. You can imagine why. he was a disciple down in Damascus, and this man had been a raging maniac against the Church of God. He came down there to destroy the church. So anyway, let's read that. In Acts 9:11, this is why God reassured him. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. That's an amazing thing. He had never really prayed until that time, even though he'd gone through the motion of prayer. God doesn't accept the prayers of people who are not born again. Look in Proverbs 15:8, that'll tell us that. It's got two sides to this one in Proverbs 15:8. That'll be an encouragement to us. The sacrifice of the wicked, an abomination to God. So Paul's prayer before this had been an abomination to God, called him to be born again. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God. The prayer of the upright is a delight. So you pray. And sometimes you shoot an arrow up to heaven. You know that? Sometimes you just, it's instinctive how a child of God gets in trouble. They say, Lord, help me. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever been there? I know you've been there. You maybe didn't even think about doing that, but you said, Lord, help me. Well, Peter did it. Now, this is one of the most sincere prayers I've ever prayed. It's a real short prayer, but it was sincere as it could possibly be. When Peter was walking on the water, and while he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, he could do that. And he began to sink, and we read what happened here in Matthew 14:30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. That's a three-word prayer. You think he meant that? Do you mean your prayers? Sometimes you get in trouble, you mean them. He sent an heir to heaven, so we need to send an heir to heaven. That's not all we ought to do, though. Let me show you people who have regular... I'm going to ask you about your prayer life. I hope I can get on some toes today. I really do, in a good way, to get some action. Do you have a regular prayer life? Do you? Do you moms and dads have a regular prayer life in the home? Do you pray your children, teach them how to pray? Do you husband and wife pray? Judy and I are trying to have a Bible study and prayer. Sister Patty tell you that. We try to read the Bible together and pray. I wish I could even do better. I want to do better. But do you do that? What about you individual? Do you have a prayer life? You single people, y'all have a prayer life? A regular prayer life? Why not? So I hope I can stir you up today. Let me show you how that the Jews had regular time of prayer. So if you don't have one, I'm going to ask you to develop one. It doesn't have to be real long at first. I'm not saying you got to pray a whole hour. Even though it'd be great, someday you may get so thirsty you may be able to do that. But do something. But let it be regular. You're letting God know, Lord, I mean business. Lord, I respect you. Lord, I'm going to give you some time. We ought to be doing that. I know we live in a society that's so busy, it's hard to do things like this. And if you read some of these polls they have, like the Barna poll, which is pre-polled religious people, you'd be amazed how little time that professed Christians spend in prayer. You'd even be amazed how little professed pastors spend in prayer. It's amazing if these polls are correct at all. And a pastor ought to be doing what I'm trying to do even more. He needs to be giving himself continually to prayer, the ministry of the word. You ought to want your pastor to do that. That's what the deacons were ordained for. We give ourselves continually to prayer, to ministry of the word. Let's look at some of the people that had these set prayer times. Over in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, meaning the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Jews had several hours. Isn't that something? That's just what they did. They were at the temple at the hour of prayer. Do you have an hour of prayer? If don't, develop one. Okay, I'll give you some hints in a little bit. We need to start our day out with prayer and end our day with prayer. And we don't need to be so busy. We run out of the house and have even pray with our family. All right, let's look at some more places. Over in Daniel chapter 6, here's our great prayer warrior Daniel. You know what a great man of prayer he was. And so in chapter 6, verse 10 of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that's the decree that you weren't supposed to pray to anybody except the king there. The thing that got Daniel thrown into the den of lions. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. In other words, Daniel's custom was, I'm going to pray three times a day. What a great man of prayer. Let me give you two or three more. I know you're getting this, but I hope it'll have an effect on you. I'd be thrilled if I hear, and you come tell me about it if you've had an effect on you. Help me out a lot. I need to get some reassurance. I got a text message this morning from Daniel Beecham. Just tickled me to death. His brother said, he's thank God you made me do a lot of memorizing when I was younger. Now that I'm exercising the ministry, it's coming in handy. He said, I'm studying the Bible, stuff's coming back to me. I take him after him, keep at it, buddy, keep at it. Let it be a way of life. Make it easy to do that by having scriptures convenient where you can do them. And also use your nickels and dimes of time. And let it be a lot. I'll tell you the same thing. Let it be a lifetime of doing that. We can use our nickels and dimes of time to do religious exercises. And with that, we almost have to snatch it, don't we? Because we live in such a busy world. Anyway, over in Psalm 5:3. My voice shall I hear in the morning. You know, it wouldn't hurt to vocally pray, would it? You can do that in the house or by yourself if you want to. I've had a lot of fun praying out loud. I like to get out in the woods sometimes and pray out loud because nobody can hear me. People probably think you're a nut, but it probably do them good to hear the prayer anyway. But I don't want to just be an oddball, but I like to get out. I remember one time being at Arkansas, and I was at Lisa and Evan Green's. I got out one morning on that good old country road, and I decided to take off and start memorizing Ephesians 1, which a lot of that's a prayer. Before you know it, I was shouting. I'm glad nobody saw me. They'd probably take me in to get the white coat people. But I had more fun than the barrel monkeys. Listen, let God hear your voice. Let God hear your voice. Sometimes during the song service, I don't do this on purpose, sometimes during the song service, I'll say hallelujah, and it releases something inside me sometimes, and I just start rejoicing. Listen, prayer's not only asking God for things. I'm going to show you in a minute, prayer's adoring God. We really don't do the most high-class prayer most of the time. I don't know whether that's a good word to use, high-class prayer, but I'm going to show you what I'm talking about in a minute. Because it's kind of fun to pray, because see, if you're just asking for stuff all the time, that may get a little bit dull. But if there's all kinds of different ways to pray, and there's a variety of prayer, that would enlighten your prayer life. So, over in Psalm 55, verse 17. Well, I hadn't finished verse 5:3 yet. My voice shall they hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning, I direct my prayer to thee and look up. We got a good song in our book based on that verse right there. Psalm 55, 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. Lord, I'm going to cry aloud. I'm going to cry aloud. Psalm 141, 2. I just love this one. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. That's what I pray is incense to God. And so he said, let my prayer be set before thee as incense, God, and the lifting up of my hands in prayer as the evening sacrifice. We can say the morning sacrifice or the noon sacrifice, but we need to have a good prayer life. Now let me show you the songs I want to give you. It's a good way to start the day off in prayer. Over in verse chapter 12 here, the song book, we did this in our house. Now we just had four verses. We did the one in the red book, so I got those memorized. But my kid can tell you we had a lot of fun doing this, and my wife can tell you we really enjoyed this. So I'm going to read you the verses that we read. I won't do all these here. It'd be do it all. But in other words, we started out this way with our kids when they're home. Awake my, this is number 12, verse 1. Now I'll run down here and find the verses that we use. What a good way to wake up. What a good way to wake up. You remember those days, John? A lot of fun. Awake my soul, and with the sun, thy daily stage of duty run. Shake off dull sloth, and early rise, to pay thy morning sacrifice. Now go down to verse 5. That's our next verse we did. Wake and lift up thyself, my heart, with the angels bear the part, who all night long, unwearied, say, high praise to the eternal King. Those angels are singing all the time. You know that? It said in Revelation, they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So he said, let's join the angels. Shoot, they've been singing all night. We've been sleeping. Let's wake up and join the angels. And then we did verse 6. All praise to thee, who safe has kept, had refreshed me while I slept. Grant, Lord, when I from death shall wake, I may of endless life partake. And then our last verse, let me see if I can find it. Oh, yeah, the last verse, this is a great verse about how I want to live today, Lord, for you. That's verse 9. Direct, control, suggest this day. All I design or do or say. With all my power, with all their might. And thy soul glory may unite. What a good way to start the day off. Start doing that in your families. If you don't want to use this song, use something else. Pray, wake up praising God. It makes the day go better. And God gets all the glory. No wonder we run out of steam, spiritual steam. We just wake up and don't even think about what's going on. Go get our spiritual battery recharged. Have some problem, we're in trouble. Put our mind on God first, then we can handle it. And then going to sleep on, another good thing, over in number 556. Let's look at that a minute. This would be a good thing to go to bed on. That Harmony Hill song would be a good one to go to bed on, wouldn't it? The last song they sang up there at Harmony Hill at night would be a good one. But 556, just an example. We can use our song book, that where the songs are based on the scripture, which most of them are, that can also help our prayer life. Do you know a lot of the songs are prayers? Do you know we did some praying today? I thought I could comment, but I didn't. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be here today. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be here today. A lot of our songs are prayer, not only on petition, sometimes just praising God. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. I'm going to give you some ways you can use different divisions of prayer. I think it'll help you if you can do this. But let's look at this. What a good way to go to bed. All praise to thee, my God, this night, for all the blessings of the light. Keep me, oh, keep me, King of Kings, beneath thine all own almighty wings. Forgive me, Lord, for thy dear son, the ill thou have this day have done. That with the world, myself, and thee, I, ere I sleep, at peace may be. Get a lot better night's sleep, wouldn't you? Teach me to live that I may dread. I love this one. This is powerhouse. Victorious child of God. Teach me to live this day that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Will that be something? Don't worry about dying a bit. I was getting my car worked on this last week and got down and had an Entrepreneur magazine. And these guys were billionaires. And I couldn't help but feeling sorry for them. I won't tell you who they all were. But they were billionaires and they're trying to figure out ways to stop aging. And one guy said, death is a problem we can solve. I almost laughed out loud, but it's a problem we can solve. One guy had the idea, well, let's get the information when somebody died off of them, when they may come back in a machine. They're trying to find some way to live forever. You don't even want to live forever. You want to live here as long as God wants you here, then go home where we really start living. That's where you really start living. We have this low, groundless, standing sorrow. God put us here to serve him, and then it's time to go home. And all our cancer friends will be free of their cancer. All of our arthritis friends, they won't be hurting anymore. All of our sin friends who let themselves and God down, they'll be gone. We're heading home. Ain't it good to dread the grave as little as my bed? That's why old Stonewall Jackson said that. I believe he meant it. I believe old Stonewall's a good old Christian. He lives love the Lord. He said, I can be content on a bed of sickness. I haven't learned that yet, by the way. Those thought once I could be content on a bed of sickness as I am out here in the battlefield. I believe the man, I don't think he's lying. Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed, to die that this vile body may rise glorious at the awful day. Oh, may my soul on thee repose, and may sweet sleep my eyelids close. Sleep that may me more, that may be more vigorous make to serve my God when I wake. And you can use that for a hint and find other songs to go to sleep on and wake up by. You know, one of the things I used to love to do with my kids, it's a lot of fun to get my kids asleep. I miss that really. I gotta tell you about John now, this is kind of funny. But I asked old John, this, and boys and girls are different by the way. The world don't know that today, but they're wrong. So, I don't know how old John was, anybody been 2 years old. And so I said, what do you want to talk about? I said, John, what are you talking about? He said, let's talk about chainsaws. Oh, that's fun. Y'all have fun with your kids, okay, while you got them. But the thing I used to love to do more than anything else was, and I did it to a money ship that had grown. I did it to a merchant ship, but the merchant, my last one, I did it to a merchant ship, but had grown. But I loved it so much over the Psalms, he that keepeth Israel should neither slumber nor sleep. We had a good time talking. I said, that means, honey, don't worry about anything. We got to go to sleep, but God never goes to sleep. He'll take care of us. And that was a good sleeping pill, got them down. Let's learn how to wake up with God and go to bed with God and trust God, okay? All right. Now, let's talk about different branches of prayer. And there's a lot of ways to do this. I'm not the only one that, I didn't come up with this, but there are other ways. I will help you to just use some of this, if you will. The word acts, A-C-T-S. Let's look at that a minute. A-C-T-S, just for a second. Different ways to pray. A is adoration. That's the really highest kind of prayer there is adoring God. See, here I say, our problem is sometimes we run to God's presence and start asking him. That's okay, God wants us to ask him for things, but why do that first? Prayer is an act of worship, isn't it? I'm saying, I do believe God's a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. I believe every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, whom is no variableness or near shadow of eternity. I believe I got an unlimited supply. But wouldn't it be better to go and adore him first? We ought to be awed by God. If you're not awed by God this morning, ask God to help you be awed before you go for the day to with. We need to be awed by God. You know, when old John Newton wrote, Amazing Grace, it is amazing. Wonderful Savior, it is wonderful. People talk, they use the word awesome, kind of makes me sick, like a basketball player dunking a ball awesome. That just means he's 7 feet tall. So what, he dunked a few balls. So that's not awesome, that's just kind of an athletic feat. Brother, what awesome is our great God. The one who when we look at this creation, we ought to get excited about it. You know that? I want you to start doing that. We live in the city. I heard one guy say, I thought the whole world went out of concrete before I was 15 years old. We live in the city. And that's about the way we are sometimes. Listen, we need to be awed by creation. We need to look at creation. We need to look at the trees God made. We look at the sky God made. He's an awesome God. Well, I'm going to tell you about adoration now. I give you a good place to start. One is, sing some songs that adore God, like how great they are. Sing some songs about that. And I'll tell you how that song goes on how great they are. It starts out with the natural creation, ends up with his spiritual creation. And that's the spiritual creation is superior to natural creation. But anyway, learn that song if you don't know it and sing it sometimes. Sometimes just do it by yourself and it'll cheer you up. How great they are. But let me give you the psalm, the best psalm. Well, the whole psalter is full of this. But look at Psalm 103. My precious father-in-law, his last few hours in a veteran's hospital intensive care was spent memorizing Psalm 103. What a good way to go out. And you don't start asking God for things until the second verse. The first verse, you're adoring God. You're adoring God. Let's look over at Psalm 103. And it's a great psalm. So learn in the Bible full of adoration. Bragging on God, adoring God. So adoration, that's the A. And we can do songs and do scriptures, both. And it'll release something in your soul that's just wonderful. Psalm 103, look at this now. He doesn't even start asking for anything until verse 2. Verse 1, he's adoring God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's blessing God. Then in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, for getting all his benefits. He gets to think about God's blessings. It's amazing, isn't it? Adore God. It's do you good. You might say, well, I don't feel like adoring God. And so I'll be a hypocrite if I do it. No, that's not true. God always deserves our praise. I think that we've grown feelings too much. We say, if I feel good, I'll go ahead and bless God, but I got to wait until I get to feeling good before I bless God. Just start blessing God anyway. Doesn't he deserve it, whether you feel it or not? And if you do it, I guarantee you, pretty soon you're going to feel like doing it. Because the Holy Spirit's going to help you adore God Almighty. And you'll have some spiritual highs. And brethren, we need spiritual highs in the world we live in. Our kids need to realize there's no comparison with spiritual things Like, what did the psalm say? Solid joys and lasting treasures. Isn't that right? None but Zion's children know. These guys that are trying to live forever and think they can solve death, those guys are not happy. They couldn't possibly be happy. They may have billions. If I had billions, I'd be happy. They're not happy. Most of them are half crazy, really. I'm not joking. Some of the schemes they come up with. I'm some big names I'm talking about. I better not start naming them right now. I could do it. There's some big name people you know about half crazy, brother. If you don't believe in God, you are half crazy. Solid joy, that's what you've got. Don't envy what the wicked have got. If you know Jesus Christ and you love him and you want to love him more, you got solid joys and lasting treasures none but Zion's children know. Don't worry, you get to be middle-aged at learning that. Learn it while you're young, kids. And we're old people already learn it more. We're just almost there anyway. We're on the last stretch. We ought to sprint out and to follow his arms. So adoration. Acts, A-C-T-S. Right? I'm just helping you here a little. This can be just a suggestive sermon. Different way to pray. Number C, Acts, is confession. We need to confess to God Almighty. Now, the best psalm on confession is Psalm 51. I won't quote the thing to you, but I have memorized Psalm 51. There have been many times I've said, Lord, I'm praying Psalm 51. That's the one when David had sinned against God and had been convicted of his sin. He went to prayer, began to confess to God Almighty. And confession is good for you. It's good for you. And I'm going to promise you something. Look at 1 John 1:9. Let me give you a promise. One of my boys had been corresponding with a guy up in Chicago that he's a rough old guy too. He's rough as a cob. I hope he's born again. I don't know where he is not, but he's rough as a cob. But my boys still love him. I'm thankful that he used to be here in Memphis. He used to be one of the coaches of the Vickery University. He's a tough old guy. He's a really Chicago guy. But he told my son, I've sinned so much God couldn't forgive me. You may feel that way. I've sinned so much God could not forgive me. No use even trying. Hey, did Daddy give me a verse? I'll give you a verse, son. It's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God's word says. Our God never turned down a repentant sinner. He never turned down a repentant sinner. My friend, he's 9 years old of a broken and contrite heart. Now, if you're arrogant, don't come to him. It won't do you a bit of good. If you got a broken heart, you feel like I'm the lowest dog that ever lived, and I wish I had not offended God, I need help. That's the kind of people he helps. You know what Jesus Christ told those Pharisees, those stinking old Pharisees that thought they were righteous? He said, listen, I did not come to call the righteous to repentance. I came to call sinners to repentance. So in a way, it's good news to a sinner, isn't it? He said, I came to call sinners to repentance. He said, the whole don't need a physician, but they're sick in the physician. Who go to a doctor when they're feeling good? Nobody does. But you get to hurting pretty bad, I'm running to the doctor. Brother, we need to run to Dr. Jesus. You know that? He's the one who got the balm of Gilead. He can heal the wounds of his children, all kinds of wounds, emotional wounds, spiritual wounds, psychological wounds, physical wounds if he wants to. He can do it. He is the great physician. And he's a kind-hearted physician, too. He's not one that cannot be approached. He said, come unto me, he said, you that labor are heavy laden. He said, I'm meek and lowly of heart. He's easy to go to. So confession. See, a lot of times we try to get by that confessing. Don't try that. It won't do you a bit of good. So you sin and you start justifying yourself. That's what most people do. They start justifying themselves. Well, that's the way my daddy was. He had a hard temper. I can't run our family. I'm a victim. My mom and dad made a bunch of mistakes. All that kind of stuff. That's a lot of stuff. What God wants to do is confess my friend to him. And you know what the word confess means? It means to agree with. That's a strange word maybe. It's homologeo, the Greek word. It's just like, I'll use Harry for example. I'm going to say if Harris has sinned, and so when he reconfesses, he's getting on God's side against his own self. Say, yeah, God, I agree. I'm the guy. So you do it with no reserve. You'll say, God, I'm sorry, but there's no but to it. I'm just sorry, I messed up. I'm just a sinner. That's the kind of confession God hears. You'll try to make excuses. And we confess our sins. So try it sometime. Read Psalm 51. Read it, say, God, that's my sentiments. Memorize it if you have to. It's a great psalm. So confession, A, C. Then T is thanksgiving. That's close to adoration, but not exactly the same. T is thanksgiving. We got a lot to thank God for. Let's look at a couple of places. One of them is Hebrews 13:15. I love this. By him, this is Hebrews 13:15. Thanksgiving. You see what I'm saying? I'm just like you are. Sometimes I run to God's presence and say, Lord, gimme, 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 gimme. And that's okay, but I shouldn't do that first. If I have my mind on him, adore him, and confess to him, I'm going to have more probably access to asking for things anyway. And I may even change what I'm asking for. Oh, let's love this. You do this at Grace Chapel sometimes. We do it in our song service. Hebrews 13:15. By him, that's Jesus Christ. You can't do it without him. By him, therefore, let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, giving thanks to his name. You know, if we really could see our blessings, we could all day long thank God. We get this all in our book, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. You get to thinking about that, we can really start naming some blessings. We're so blessed. My friend, even right now, everybody in this building is blessed just being in the United States. People may be running us down the best place people live. We have good health care. We got all, none of us got hungry this morning unless you wanted to. You had a good car drive here in. You ought to be some places where I've been. You ought to go to India, Siberia sometime and see how they live. And the freedom, we still have the freedoms. They're kind of getting truncated, but we still got them. We ought to just get up out of bed every say, we ought to jump up and click our heels. Like I said, Helen used to do. Say amen every morning we get up. Say thank you, Lord. And we got good churches to go to. We got ministers that God called us. We got Bibles. My friend, you can buy a Bible for almost nothing at Walmart if you want to. We hadn't made it, had we? And that's just the minor stuff compared with spiritual blessings. If you love Jesus Christ, because he loved you first. You've been born again, you're heading for glory. You got the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we could name blessing after blessing. How many times has God rescued you from danger? How many times has God got you out of the pit of sin? I've been in pretty deep before in sin. I've been pretty deep. I can give a testimony of Psalm 42. So I think Psalm 40, I believe it is. One of those, I think, I forgot which one it is right now, but you know what it is. The Lord got me out of a deep pit, out of a miry clay. That's like quicksand. You ever been in quicksand and some kind of a sin so deep you couldn't even get out of it? The harder you tried, the deeper you got. And God reached down and got you out of there. He done me that way. I guarantee he done me that way on several things. He picked me up out of the pit. He put my feet on the rock. He established my way. He put a song in my mouth, a new song, and even prayed to his holy name. If God had left me on my own, no telling where I'd be. Gannon, you gave a great testimony the other day. A great testimony. Old Gannon gave a great testimony. You know, God got him out of a pit, friend, and I'm thrilled to have him here at Grace Chapel. I'm thrilled. He's a man who knows where blessings come from and how powerful God can be. And you need to know that. If anybody's in real trouble, you come see me. I'll point you to God. I'll help you get close to him. He can bless us to overcome anything. So anyway, we got lots to thank God for. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving. Then finally, we get down to supplication. That's asking him for things. And we do it on behalf of him and others. Let me give you two supplications. So I'm just giving you hints. A, acts, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. Well, I forgot the adoration. That's the adoration. Confession, thanksgiving. Now, supplication. Now, what I do every morning. I've done it now for over 2 years. I'm glad I have. I'm not bragging. I wanted to do this all my life. I couldn't stick with it, but I've been sticking with it. I supplicate for our government. I've already done it this morning. And we ought to all do that. Things are getting real bad in our country, and they're getting real bad in the world. But my prayer is the mighty weapon. So here's what we pray over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort therefore, Paul says, that therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are authority. We may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is acceptable, so God our Savior, who have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is a powerful prayer. You pray that. If you do that, you'll be the greatest asset our country's got. We may have a mighty military, but brother, you can't trust in the horses, the Bible says. We make stupid decisions sometimes. We need to be praying hard. Supplication, but supplicate for each other. You know one of the prettiest pictures of the Bible? Well, the pretty picture of the Bible, that a man who had the palsy, he was in bad shape. He couldn't get to God. He couldn't walk. So guess what happened? You remember this one? I love this one. Four of his friends took him on a stretcher down to Jesus Christ because they knew that's the only place to get any help. But when they got down there, there's a problem. There's a great big crowd around that house. They couldn't even get in. So they gave up. Nope, that's the wrong virgin. You know what they did? They climbed on top of the roof. They meant business, folks. And they tore a hole in the roof, let that man down in the presence of Jesus Christ. You look this up. The first time I saw this, I got a shouting grounds. And when he saw their faith, he healed that man. Anybody, three or four of y'all need to get together as a prayer group and pray for somebody? We all be doing that sometimes, you know it. My friend, we serve a prayer hearing, prayer tree God. We need to learn how to supplicate. So anyway, let me give you, I'm gonna show you a man. I wish I were this guy. I want y'all to pray for me to be this guy. I'm serious about that. I'm not here yet, but I want to be this kind of guy. It's over in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. This is where you get the expression prayer warrior from. Colossians 4. We don't know a lot about this guy. We don't need to know too much about him. We just know something. He's a prayer warrior. He knew how to supplicate. And he wasn't only interested in his home church. He was interested in the sister churches. I'm glad he was. I hope you're taking some notes today, mental notes. If you get information today and don't do something about it, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be disappointed. I hope and pray to God. I'll help you if you want me to. All right, over in Colossians chapter 3. Over here in verse 12 through 12 and 13. This is Colossians 4. I'd love to be this guy. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. He is working hard in prayer. In fact, the agonizomai is the Greek word. He's agonizing. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in the all will of God. For I bear him record. He hath a great zeal for you and for them in Laodicea, then in Hierapolis. That was sister churches that were pretty close to there. He was praying for all of them. Now, I can't do what I want to do because it takes too much time, but I'm going to give you some hints. I may preach some more of this later. But I'm going to tell you, one of the best ways to learn how to pray is look at examples. So we'll look at one today, and maybe I will mention some others I'll probably go to later. But the Bible is a prayer manual. And God gives us examples of people. And so let's look just briefly at the Lord's model prayer. And you can pray this prayer. You ought to pray it sometimes. Not in just rote, just going through it like a, kind of like a charm. But listen, this is a way to learn how to pray. Let's look at Matthew 6. I hope you'll try this. Matthew chapter 6. I know I'm not going to get through this. I'm not going to try to. I'm not going to try to put too much material. I'm going to do some more of this later. But I tell you, this is wonderful stuff. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at verse 9. Now you try this, see if it'll help. All right, here's our Savior talking now. This is Jesus Christ talking. Now you try this, see if it don't help you. Some of you already tried. I know you have. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Now let's look at this. The whole sermon could be on this. I won't. Every word, hour, ho, 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 right there you need to stop. I know sometimes if my Lord, my shepherd, he's taught hour. I've sometimes stayed 5 or 10 minutes on that one word. My mind starts ranging to my church members, to my family, to people in other churches, to people in India, to people in different places. Let your imagination go. It's wonderful. You know what? I just believe sometimes, I can't prove it, I believe sometimes God lets me have a love for every Christian in the whole world. I really believe it. Sometimes I just start groaning and I just feel so good. Say, God, you know where they are. You know the ones being persecuted. You know the ones that are sad. You know the ones that are sick and stuff. Don't be in a hurry. Get away from that if God gives you that. Philpott said one time, you heard me say this before, Philpott, because he lived back in the day when they had sailing ships. He said, when the wind is blowing, he said, keep your sail up. Because the wind doesn't always blow. God doesn't always let you have that spirit of prayer. We ought to be praying anyway. But when you have this wonderful feeling that God gives you, and if you'll spend some time with God, you'll have it sometimes. Keep that sail up. Enjoy it. Don't hurry through it. So, well, I got my prayer done. I'm going to do something else now. I've been dumb enough to do that. Hour. See what they'll do for you. Father. Ha-ha. What a word. What a word. Father. Father. If ye then being evil, know how to give gifts, this, good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, should heaven give good things to them and ask him? You know, he's my Father. He's your Father. He's your Father. That ought to give us funny feelings, shouldn't it? A good Father that loves his children and defends his children. He's your Father. You spend some time on that, which art in heaven. Isn't that good? You know, heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. Our problem is we look at the footstool too much. Don't look at the throne. If I look at the old footstool all the time, I'm going to get down. But the heaven is his throne. Our Father, which art in heaven, you're above all this old stuff. You're controlling this world from where you're at. It's not taking you by surprise. Then here's the first petition. Give me something. Nope. That's the first one. Hallowed be thy name. That's the first. Lord, let your name be sanctified. Let your name be sacred. First of all, let me be sacred in my life. God, let me be sacred in my life. I've taken you for granted too much, God, and then may it spread abroad that thy name, hallowed be thy name. The world is mocking you, God, may that stop. You keep talking about some prayers. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm just going a little too fast, but I've just got to give you some hints here. You can spend some time in this. Hallowed be thy name. It's the first petition for spiritual things. Thy kingdom come. That's his rule. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's not a futile prayer. That's going to be a reality one of these days. Well, I pray for the advancement of God's kingdom now, but friends, sometimes his kingdom will be totally triumphant, even in a manifest way. You know that? Do you realize if you're a child of God, one of these days, you will be living in the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God's will being done now, but not willingly. He said, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I think that's the new heaven and the new earth. Totally voluntarily, it could be a wonderful time. That's not, but right now we ought to pray for the advancement of his kingdom in the churches, in the gospel. I think sometimes we get this pessimistic mentality because the world seems invincible, doesn't it? These old candidates that are running for office can say the most meanest things, the most vicious things. They can scare to death. They're just human beings. And my friend, someday they'll be gone. And if they lift up their hand against God, they'll have to answer that someday. We don't have to worry about that, be afraid of them. Our Lord told us, don't be afraid of him who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Then we finally come down. Thank God. We can ask him for anything, for material things. Give us this day our daily bread. If you ate daily bread, you know where it came from? It came from God. You're saying, oh, I made that myself. Who gave you the energy to make it? I'm real smart. Who gave you the education? Who gave you the brain to start with? So I'm saying, give us this day our daily bread. We need to thank God. My friend, without him, we can do nothing. Forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive our... forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. Put our trespasses in the Luke account. Now I want to say something about that. At the end of this, I'm going to read this. There's only one thing in the Lord's Prayer that he repeats. That's this verse right here. So if you're holding anything against anybody, you better forgive them. Forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. If you don't forgive those, God's not going to forgive you. In the sense, well, it's serious business. So I know some of you probably been hurt here today real bad. You've got to forgive. You have no choice. I was talking to one guy. He didn't think it was very funny. I was trying to make a joke. He didn't think it was very funny. I said, you don't have a law in prayer meeting? You don't have a law in prayer meeting? Let's pray for enemies. He didn't think it was funny. It might not have been funny. But sometimes you might need to have a law in prayer meeting if you got a lot of enemies. But he meant that. So we can work through that. I'm not saying you can instantly forget it, especially if you've been harmed in a very bad way, but you've got to forget it. You got to. I can't preach on that right now. I wish I had time. But I'm just saying, I'm reading it. And forgive us our debts, we forgive our debtors. Now, this is very important, this next one. They're all important. Lead us not to temptation, deliver from evil. Well, what we need to do there, we realize that God, I'm a weak individual. It said in 1 Corinthians 10:12, let a man take heed when he thinks he stands, lest he fall. So there's never a time we can let our guard down. We can make disgrace the kingdom of God. Even a man my age could do that. I don't want to do it. So we need to pray that all the time. Lord, lead me. Don't suffer me to be led into temptation. Deliver me from the evil. We all pray that all the time. For our family, for ourselves. And then he closes in a glorious way of praise. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then he repeats that thing about forgiveness. So it must be very important for him to repeat that. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, then will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, folks, I'm going to quit now. I hate to quit in a way, but I think I need to quit. You got enough material. If you're going to do anything about it, you can do something about it. But there's other encouragements to prayer. I'm going to tell you where some of them are. You may want to look them up on your own. If you already get some example of prayer, you want to write some of these down? I'm going to mention them. I'll probably preach on them later, but if you want to get a head start. Look at Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, one of the most skillful prayers ever prayed. Look at that if you want to. Look at Abraham wrestling with God in Genesis chapter 18. Look at the prayer to Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3. There's lots of good examples of prayer in the Bible. We can learn a lot from it. So may God bless you.